Saying this, Elizabeth has been in my notes because all the songs that she played today steer themselves towards the message that God has given me to present to you. And you know what? Sometimes we need these confirmations. They just give us just a little bit more boldness. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm starting to get too many bookmarks in my book here. There we go. Hallelujah. All is well. Is all well with you? Hallelujah. All is well. I like the way that song started, because it started by talking about shaking. And that's what my message is called. One more time, I will make it shake. Isn't that amazing? I don't call that coincidence, because coincidence is random. I call that God. I call that ordained by God, because we all work for the same boss. Whether you sweep the floors, whether you preach the message, whether you lead the praise and worship, we all work for the same guy. And so we should all have the same message. So it shouldn't be surprising when we get confirmations. One more time, I will make it shake. Well, congratulations. You are the unshakables. You are the unshakables. I'm getting into my message before communion, but I'll get back to it. Right? All that can be shaken will be shaken. And I know that there are people who are not here for different reasons and different circumstances, but there has been a lot shaken. If you can bear it, if you can bear it, I believe that the shaking has already begun. And we're going to talk about that later. So when it shakes, what do? I've always heard it told to me, hold fast to the horns of the altar. Well, that was Old Testament. Today, we hold fast unto the cross and what the cross means and has done for us. Hebrews 10:19-22, and this morning, this will impress Terry, I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Finally, he said, finally, you've been converted. But you know what? There are certain translations of the Bible which just make certain things clear. And I couldn't find a clearer translation than this. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh or his body. And since we have a great priest, Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance. You want to know how to stop the shaking and the quaking going on in your life? Get a full assurance. Where does that full assurance come? That full assurance was paid, bought and paid for us when Jesus went to the cross for us. Nobody can change that. It is there once for all. And that is what we need to hang on to when things start shaking around us. And when people leave that we thought were the unshakables, we have to hold fast to the cross. hold fast to what Jesus did for us. So as we take and partake of communion this morning, let us remember that this is our rock, Jesus, upon which our lives are built. And if we are secure in that rock, when the shaking happens, we will be unshakable. Let us remember not only what Jesus did for us, but the price that He paid. The price that He paid to give us freedom. And so we take communion this morning, celebrating and remembering what Jesus did for us. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let us take of the body of Christ in remembrance, remembering that Jesus' body was broken for us, that Jesus gave His body that we might be whole. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for surrendering Your body as a sacrifice for us, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God. We understand the price that was paid. And we are Yours. You have bought us. We thank You for that. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant." This is the new deal. It's not going to change. "In My blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." This is our banner. This is the banner which is planted in that rock, our salvation. Let us partake of the new covenant. Lord, we will always remember. We will always remember the price You paid for us. We will hold fast to that, no matter what happens around us. You are our priority. You are our one love. We thank You for that. As the book of Romans says, there is nothing high enough or deep enough or wide enough that would separate us from Your love. And we respond to that this morning by celebrating that love. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, "I will shake." As I was studying this topic that God had given me, in the book of Hebrews, which is where our main scripture comes from, Hebrews 12, I was reading in Hebrews, and I noticed that just before the "one more time I will make it shake" scripture was a fifth warning. So I figured if there's a fifth warning, there must be a first, second, third, and fourth warning as well. So as I was preparing, I started reading through some of these warnings and studying some of these warnings in the book of Hebrews. Do we have that? Good, look it. So there were five warnings that were given before the statement that says, one more time, I will shake, or I shake. No extra words, just I shake. The first warning, and as you read through these warnings, they get more and more serious. The first warning is the danger of neglect. What would that be? Neglecting God's word, treating salvation as fire insurance. If there is a hell, I don't want to go to it. And that's talked about in Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. The second warning is the danger of the hardening of the heart by not entering his rest. We start to hear things in this place that we don't enjoy so much. So, for the congregation, right, this is a place where we either buy in or we tuck tail and run. The danger of the hardening of the heart, hearing something that we can't receive. The third warning, the danger of not going on to maturity. Because if you stay in the same place, you tend to get critical. Right? You become unhappy. You become shakable, may I say. That was warning number three that Paul gave to the Hebrews. Warning number four. The danger of drawing back. The danger of saying, this isn't happening right now. This is way in the future. I'm just going to live life for me right now. But when the time comes, I will press in. Ask the 10 virgins how that worked out for them. The 5 that didn't prepare and that didn't stay in focus and in touch with God. It didn't work out well for them. And the fifth warning, the danger of refusing God, refusing to hear God. It's not my problem. This is someone else's problem. Or, that's not politically correct. The world today says this. Do you know that what the world says and what the church believes are two different things? While I was preparing for this, I constantly was thinking about what instrument is God going to use to shake the church? What instrument? He used Jesus, but there is no second son coming. We are it. We are it. We are the church of God. What instrument? And I prayed about it all the way through. And even when I met with Terry on Friday morning, I still didn't have that answer. But during praise and worship today, I got that answer. And the thing that God is going to use to shake, and he's not going to cause it to shake, and he's not going to bring about a shake, it says, I shake. Some translations have put in that little word, will, but it's in italics, so you know it's added. But it's pretty straightforward. I shake. God shakes. The instrument that God is going to shake with, and it's a 5-letter word, but it's a big one. It's called truth. It's called truth. We're going to talk about the church at Laodicea, known as the lukewarm church. And we're going to ask ourselves, what is truth going to do to that church? But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Hebrews 12, 25 to 28. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape it if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, whose voice then shook the earth. Verse 26. I had to go read that one up because I had to figure out when that shaking was. And that shaking was announcing his son and the salvation. This is my son in whom I am well pleased, he spoke of as Jesus was baptized. The reference to that is Hebrews 2 and 3. I shake not only earth but heaven. Like I said before, it's not that he causes it to shake, and it's not that he allows it to shake, but he shakes. He will shake it. Let's give you an example of a church shaker. John 6:47. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh. I'm sure half didn't understand what he was saying, and the other half said, this can't be. There's something wrong with this. Which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 52 goes on to say, the Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And right there, all the religious people were shaken, because they had never heard anything like this before. How could this be the truth? How can we eat of your flesh? How can you give us your flesh to eat? They had no understanding of what he was saying, that in order to eat of his flesh is participating in what he is. So there was a church shaker. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Again, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I imagine anybody who wasn't shaken up to this point was shaking now. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Over and over and over. They couldn't say to themselves, did I hear that right? Did you hear what I just heard? Are you sure? And just while they were asking a question, he said it again. He stated it again. In this verse alone, he states it 9 times. 9 times. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have life everlasting. See, when he did this, they had gathered together to be fed again. What came just before this is when he fed the 5,000. A miracle. They all saw this miracle. Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. They walked around the Sea of Galilee. Why? To be fed again. To see another miracle. And had Jesus said, okay, you guys, you made it around the lake. I feed you one more time. I show you a miracle one more time. He would have created welfare for them. Right? Here comes the welfare system. All I need to do is find Jesus and he'll feed me. But you see, that wasn't Jesus' intent. Jesus' intent was to show them the power of God. And now, buy into that. Become a part of that. And so instead of feeding them, he gives them this. And they say to themselves, this is too hard to bear. And I imagine a lot of them turned and tucked tail and ran. The church shook. They weren't getting what they thought they were supposed to be getting. And do I dare say the church today is kind of the same way? They're looking for that comfortable pew. They're looking for a little bit of word, but more so being entertained. It's called itchy ears. Man, I didn't believe it last time. Jesus had to say it 9 times. Maybe it'll change this time. And then they become offended one way or the other. The world is shaking. The church is shaking. And the hanger-oners aren't hanging on so well. Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. Verse 61. He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now his disciples were shaking. That was the leadership of the church below Jesus. The disciplined followers were shaking. And I asked myself, okay, I know that Jesus is straightening things out, is straightening out the people of God. But why? But why? Why would God shake those who have decided to follow him? Because a lot of people who decide to follow him are doing it for themselves. The me gospel. Not for the furtherance of the church, but just self-preservation. And as you get more and more of these people involved in what God is doing, just there for themselves, I dare say you're weakening the church. So why is God shaking the church? Why is God shaking? Because he wants to strengthen the church. If we go to the book of Revelations, talking to Laodicea, I still don't know how to pronounce that, but that's okay, because I'm just going to call it the lukewarm church, which is a type and a shadow of today's church, the lukewarm church. It has been long past since we've had to put our lives on the line physically, because we live in a country that allows freedom of religion. There are places in the world where people, Christians, are still putting their lives on the line. If you are putting your life on the line for the church, you are not part of a lukewarm church. You are a part of a red-hot church. But you see, we've kind of been lulled to sleep here in North America. We haven't had to make great sacrifices. We can live as a closet Christian and never ever really feel bad about ourselves. However, if you choose to live as a closet Christian, when the shaking happens, there's a good chance that you're going to be shook right out, because you don't have that foundation to hang on to. So is Jesus shaking the world, or is God shaking the world? According to this, he is shaking the church. Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you are neither hot, or pardon me, cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I like New King James here because it still uses the word vomit. The other translations kind of tone that down just a touch to spit. Right? But vomit is a violent act. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, I have my money to lean on. I have become wealthy. I don't have to worry about the church. And have need of nothing. The me gospel. I got me covered. I really don't care about you. That's what it's saying right there. What does Jesus or God call that? God calls that lukewarm. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The lukewarm. This is a physical picture of the shaking. It's a physical picture. Right? Why does God want to change the world, shake the church? Because it's getting weak. I talked to a colleague of mine at work who I knew attended church, and I talked about shaking. And I said, you know what? The church is already shaking. If you look at the statistics out there, every church is experiencing a shrinking. I use the word every, but not every. Because there are some churches that are still growing in numbers, may I say. Because these churches are making allowances besides the Word of God for things that are of the world and not of God. They are allowing homosexuality to speak from the pulpit. And if we understand the spirit attached, to that person is spread to the church when he speaks to the church in an authority as a church leader. But there are some churches who are allowing this. There are churches who allow same-sex marriages. I thank God when I signed up for this program. Rule number 13. Thou shalt not marry same-sex. That's written right into my card. It's good. Because I can say no just like that. And I have a whole church organization who backs me up. That's truth. But there are those churches who allow it. There are those churches who no longer profess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They profess Him as a prophet. Hello. That's why we're all here, is because Jesus is the Son of God. To say He was a prophet would lay Him in the same place as Buddha and a few other prophets who have said some things, Confucius. No, the truth is, He is the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's the truth. And if you can't believe that, I know you all in here believe that, but if you can't believe that, you're living a lie. And so when God professes the truth, you will shake. And if you can't make the adjustments, you will fall off. You'll off the island. Verse 17 talks about some of these lukewarms, self-opinionated, wise in their own eyes, and blind to their own condition. They have no idea that they are the lukewarm. I go to church every Sunday. I look good. I smell good. It's not a truth. You're hanging your hat on that. Your hat's going to fall. If you want an example of that, go to Luke 12, starting at verse 16. The story of the rich fool who would not feed Lazarus at his gate, even though he had to tear down his old barns and build new barns to hold all his crops. He didn't have anything left over for Lazarus. He was right in his own eyes. He celebrated and partook of the me gospel. It's good for me. We are taught to look further than that. And we all know that the outcome of it was the fact that that rich fool was his soul was required of him, pardon me, that night, no delay, right? And the scales, so to speak, fell off his eyes and he could see now. And the first thing he wanted to do is go back and warn his brothers so that he wouldn't end up in the same place he did. What did God say to him? They won't believe you. You practiced this way too long. Verse 18, goes on to tell us of the godly recovery from such a condition, but we'll talk about that later. Let's first talk a little more about the apostasy of the church. And you can say to me, oh, this isn't going to happen right away. It's coming, but not right away. Right? What did Jesus say to his disciples? Say not that there is yet another 4 months. There's a reason why God gave me this message to give to you, because this is happening now. Proof. Let me give you proof. 2 Timothy 3. Talking about the apostasy. What does apostasy mean? The abandonment or renunciation of beliefs. Now, if you've abandoned them or renunciated them, that means you once had them. And if you go back into the warnings that Jesus gave through Paul, the renunciation means the fourth warning, a danger of drawing back. We once had this truth, but now we're letting go of this truth. Why? Well, maybe we've taken offense and haven't dealt with it. Or maybe we say, this is too hard, too long a road. And we've jumped off and skipped off. Maybe we've even been invited by the world to jump off that road. Starting at verse 1, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Does that sound like today? That's all about today. When this was written by the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews, this wasn't there. These conditions weren't there. So this is like a prophecy, and that prophecy, we're living it today. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Okay, we can all agree that's kind of where the world is at right now. But may I add this? This is also where the church, parts of the church, is right now. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Having a form of godliness. Well, if you're out in the world, you have no form of godliness. The form of godliness exists in the church. But denying its power means denying the Holy Spirit. Because that's where the power comes from. You want to overcome all of this? Let the Holy Spirit reign in church. Let the Holy Spirit reign with you wherever you go. And all of this disappears in your life. First and Second Timothy is written to the church. It's not written to those people out there. And you can say, well, but you know what? It's not sneaking into the church. But that apostasy is. And it is weakening the church. We don't see it here in this church, because the word that you get from your pastor in this place is truth. We live the truth. But there are churches who are living half-truths, who are making themselves comfortable to the outsiders to come in, hoping that with time they can be converted because, see, look at the church. It's not much different than you. You don't have to make a whole bunch of changes, but that's a lie. That's as big a lie as saying good people go to heaven. No. Believers go to heaven. And when you say that, a lot of people shake. I know that because I've used that in some of my coffee meetings. In the morning, I say, and when they tell me, well, all good people will go to heaven. I say, really? You're from the church. That means God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross was for nothing. Because good people go to church. No, believers go to church. Yeah, that shook that coffee table. I don't know, I don't get an invitation to coffee every now and then anymore. It's okay. But with every rebuke and everything that I've talked about so far, it's been a rebuke to those who do not adhere to the truth of God. God always makes a way. Luke 6:46, and we're going to close with this. And it's a scripture that we've read many a times in the last months as we've been talking about kingdom. Let me just backtrack just a wee touch to page one. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, how can we not be shaken? We are participating in kingdom. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Three things. Here's your answer. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Three things. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it. Can we all say that together? And could not shake it. This is a picture of the kingdom that we are to be working in, walking in, living in. Could not shake it. Why? Because he heard the word of God. First of all, he came to God. He heard the word of God. And he does the word of God. He lives that life. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. In some translations, it says, and the ruin of that house was total. It was totaled. Step one, being in church. You don't get the word outside of church. Even if you spend a lot of time watching TV evangelists, it is hard to take that word. If we turned that TV off after the message was done and I asked you, what did they just say? That's what you'll get. The reason being is the Spirit is not there. The Word is there. But the Spirit's not there. And the Spirit is what burns that word into us. We need to be able to sit shoulder to shoulder with other Christians. We need to, because steel sharpens steel. Taking that knowledge out into the world and following it is step two. Otherwise, all we are is a me gospel, is a me church, is a me world. What did Jesus ask us to do? To love. And to serve. To love and to serve. Serve is doing. And we need to participate in that. People, if you want your life to stop shaking, right? A wise pastor once told me, says, if your problems are too big for you to handle, go solve somebody else's problems, and your problems will go away. Because when we're trying to solve our own problems, our focus is on us. And that's not what Jesus asked us to do. Jesus said, love and serve. Not love and serve yourself, love and serve others. I thank God. I thank God that He has called me and called each one of you to be here. To be in this place. Because it's not going to shake here. It's not going to. Because the people who serve here are mature Christians who continue to press in the Word of God. One more time, I shake. Thank God. We thank God that we are not a part of the shook, but that we stand on that solid rock, Jesus Christ. And that is the main focus and goal of our lives. And as we do that, no matter where we go, with that attitude, we are walking in kingdom. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Stay tuned. There's more to come. If we can have Elizabeth to come back and give us one more of those wonderful tunes. If you feel that your life is still shaken, if there are problems in your life that you want to overcome, I'll be here. And I won't leave until every need is met. Amen? Amen.
Hello. By the crimson stain upon your robe, with every nail, with every pounding blow, by every stripe and every bruise upon your back, I can hear you crying out. You say, Father, I desire that they would be, that you would be with me to see my glory. You took all my shame, my iniquity. For the sake of freedom, you set me free. And you made a way for me. to enter the holy place. You made a way for me to enter the holy place. I am yours, you are mine, and we'll be together forever. I am yours, you are mine, and we'll be together forever. Let the crimson stain upon your robe, with every nail, with every pounding blow, by every stripe and every bruise upon your back, I can hear you crying out. You say, Father, I desire that they would be, that they would be with me to see my glory. You took all my shame and my iniquity. For the sake of freedom, you set me free. You made a way for me to enter the holy place. You made a way for me to enter the holy place. And I'm yours, you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And you made a way for me to enter the holy place. You made a way for me to enter the holy place. And I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours, and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. That's a wonderful climax. And you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours, Lord. how and we'll be together forever. Oh, I'm yours and you are mine, and we'll be together forever. And I am yours and you are mine, and we'll be together forever through all eternity. I'm yours and you are mine, yeah, and we'll be here together forever. And I'm yours and you are mine.